Hey, good morning, Hope College. Let's give it up for our praise team. Thank you so much. It's a good day when it's Senior Witness Day. And today is a good one especially. It is my privilege to introduce Miss Alexandra Dahlgren. She is a senior. She's a psychology major pursuing a career in occupational therapy. She's from Glen Allen, Illinois. She's a Dorian. She loves hip hop. And she loves the Lord. So give it up for Allie.
During my time at Hope, the Lord has met me in several unexpected places. He has met me in conversations I've had around the table, in countless friendships I've made, and in a breakup with a boyfriend. He has met me on the front porch when my friends and I were singing worship songs, and he met me on hikes I took while I was in Alaska. He met me in the fort my housemates and I made in our living room, and in the bathroom where the girls in my cluster and I hosted our dance parties during quiet hours. Yet out of all the places that the Lord has met me over the past 4 years, the place I least expected to meet him was in my doubt. And that story, the story of the time that God met me in my doubt, is the story that I feel God has placed on my heart and asked me to share with you all today. This story took place a little less than a year ago during my spring semester as an Emmaus scholar. For those of you who do not know, the Emmaus Scholars Program is an intentional Christian community. Those in the program practice what it means to live life together. Specifically, we did this by living together, breaking bread together, praying together, learning together, and serving together. Anyway, during my spring semester, I was enrolled in a leadership class specifically designed for those participating in the program. Right before the beginning of Lent, my professor began discussing the spiritual disciplines. In class, we learned that the spiritual disciplines are meant to help us recenter and place ourselves before God so that he can transform us. We discussed a variety of spiritual disciplines, including fasting, prayer, worship, silence, solitude, and celebration. After discussing these disciplines, our professor challenged us to practice the spiritual discipline for 7 days. However, because I am the person that I am, I decided to pick the spiritual discipline that was hardest for me, which was silence and solitude, and I decided to practice it for the entirety of Lent. So, on Ash Wednesday, I began my practice of silence and solitude. I went down into my basement and set my phone timer for 10 minutes. As soon as I hit start, I said, "God, I just started my timer. You may speak to me now, but you better use your time wisely because you only have 10 minutes. Yet, as I waited patiently for a whole 120 seconds, I heard absolutely nothing. To keep myself from panicking, I remember thinking to myself, maybe I just need to picture myself talking to Jesus. So I asked God to help me picture myself with Jesus. However, because I never met Jesus in the flesh, I didn't really know exactly what he looked like. All I knew was that he probably had darker features than me, but that didn't really seem to help me much. Then, before I knew it, my timer started going off. Feeling completely frustrated, I just said, "I'm done with this," and I hoped that the next time would be better. But unfortunately, this pattern of getting absolutely nothing out of my practice of silence and solitude continued for the next 2 days. It was around this time when doubt started to creep into my head. Doubts including, what if God isn't actually real? What if I just made him up? Or, what if God is real, but I'm not talking to the right God? Or, what if I'm not actually a Christian? The Bible says God's people will know his voice, but why couldn't I hear his voice? With these doubts circulating in my mind, I decided to stop my practice of silence and solitude. I did this because I was scared. I worried that if I continued to practice and not hear anything, then I would lose my faith. As I continued to wrestle with these doubts for the next week and a half, my anxiety steadily increased. I knew I needed to talk to somebody about what was going on, but I didn't know who to talk to. I was hesitant to tell my friends because I was embarrassed that I quit my spiritual discipline after only 3 days, and I thought that my doubt made me a bad Christian. For those reasons, I couldn't help but feel thankful when my mom came to visit. Right away, she knew something about me was off. So she suggested that we go for a walk along Lake Michigan. As we walked, I told her about the doubts that I was experiencing. And while I can't remember every detail of the conversation with my mom, I do vividly remember stating, "Mom, I just hope that this season of doubt doesn't cause me to lose my faith." It was as I stated these words when I looked down and I found this rock. I picked it up and I said, "Mom, this rock has an anchor on it." My mom instantly froze. After a brief pause, she said, "Allie, do you know what you said at the exact same time that you found that rock?" I looked at her and I said, "No." She looked at me and she said, "Allie, you found that rock at the exact same time that you said, 'I just hope that this season of doubt doesn't cause me to lose my faith.'" As soon as she suggested that, I thought, maybe it's a sign from God. She seemed to agree. Yet as I continued to walk, doubts about this rock began to creep in. I began to think, I bet somebody just drew an anchor on this rock, and it was a coincidence. But right as I thought that, my mom walked up to this random lady. I was so embarrassed when she did this. And she said, "Do you know what kind of rock this is?" And the lady surprisingly did. She's like, "Yeah, that's a lightning stone." And she seemed to think that the one we found was pretty amazing. Not knowing what a lightning stone is, my mom and I turned to the internet. What we discovered was that a lightning stone is essentially fractured clay in Lake Michigan. Over time, the waves wash over this fractured clay and minerals begin to fill the cracks. As this happens, the cracks begin to harden and something entirely new is created. As I learned this, I felt that this rock was essentially God's way of telling me that this is what he desires to do within us. Because of the fall, we ourselves are broken. Yet in our brokenness, God decided to enter the world through his son Jesus. And Jesus, who died on the cross, was able to cleanse us of our sins. After Jesus died, rose again, and ascended to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And once we are cleansed and washed by God's grace through Jesus and filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit, we become something entirely new. As I spent time reflecting on this encounter with the Lord, I was reminded of the story when John the Baptist was in prison. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 6, it states, "Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?' And Jesus answered them, 'Go tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, The poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me.'" From this passage, we can learn several things. First of all, we learn that John the Baptist doubts Jesus. Although the passage does not explicitly state why John doubted, based on the context, I would guess that John's doubt was initiated by what he felt was a lack of response from Jesus. I mean, if I were in prison like John, and I knew that Jesus had the authority to do amazing things, such as releasing somebody from prison, I would also be asking Jesus some questions. Interestingly, however, it seems that my doubt stemmed from a similar place. In other words, when I practiced the discipline of silence and solitude, I expected to hear Jesus verbally speak to me. So when I couldn't hear his voice, I began to ask similar questions. Yet the passage in Matthew also suggests that Jesus didn't answer John's question by giving him what he wanted. In fact, according to the passage, Jesus didn't even give John a simple yes or no. Rather, Jesus answered John's question by showing John what he has redeemed in this world. And fascinatingly, Jesus responded to my question in a very similar way. Instead of giving me a verbal and explicit answer, he responded to me by giving me something he has redeemed. While some might argue that I have placed too much meaning on this story, on my story of finding a cool rock, to me this story holds much importance. Every time I look at this rock, I'm reminded of the fact that God has given us a hope that is firm and true, a hope that acts as an anchor to my wandering and restless soul. He has given us a hope in Jesus Christ, the Word that became flesh. And through Christ, he has given us confidence that the brokenness in creation will be redeemed. So next time you find yourself questioning whether or not Jesus is the one who is to come, I pray that you remember the story of the girl who found the rock. I pray that when you remember this story, you are encouraged to bring your doubts to Jesus. However, just be prepared because he might not answer you or meet you in the place that you would expect. You may go in peace.